told us that how we should carry on as a pastor. I didn't pay too much attention to that, as you probably know. But one thing one of the professors said was that you need to tell them what you're going to tell them, and then tell them what you told them, and they'll get it. Well, I figured out early on that I did all that, and they never did get it. But I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you, and then I'm going to tell you. So I don't know if I'll tell you what I told you or not, but I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you. An encourager seeks to meet the needs of others without regard to what it cost them or him or her. Now, we discover that back over in the book of Acts, the 4th chapter. Now, I may be doubling up on some of this scripture, so you just follow along. It'll do you good. Look at 4:35 and see what that says. And it says that, let's start with 34. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the price of the things that were sold and laid it down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as his need. Now here is the first time that we meet Barnabas. And he's among those that had land and sold it and brought the price of the land to the church. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation. Now, that's King James. You may have a version that says something else there, but they gave Joseph another name. They named him Barnabas. And the name literally means son of comfort. Comfort. So we're going to talk about that a little later on. But what does that mean? That they gave him the name of the son of comfort. But that was what they gave him. A Levite and of the country of Cyprus. Having land, sold it, and he brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet and said, no strings attached, use it any way you see fit. An encourager will use his gift of exhortation. And we're going to learn later that that was Barnabas' gift. He was, we don't use that term too much, do we? It's kind of churchy, exhortation. What does it mean to exhort someone? It means to encourage them. So he uses his gift of encouragement to preserve the results of evangelism. Now, he sold his possessions to meet other people's needs. And then here's our text again. Well, I'm not going to read it again. And then number three, an encourager will look for potential in every person. In Acts 9, Barnabas takes Paul and he comes alongside him as an encourager. He comes alongside him and Barnabas had a good report among the disciples. They didn't trust Paul. But when Barnabas brings Paul into them, into their group, they trust him because Barnabas is encouraging him. He's encouraging the disciples to take Paul in. And then you remember the story about in Acts, the 15th chapter, when there was this contention over, and we'll talk about this a little later, but Paul and Barnabas, we hear about them a whole lot in the book of Acts. And they were starting churches, they were winning people to Jesus, and they took a young man with them named John Mark. And John Mark, and I, You know, a lot of times we give him down the road. We don't know, man, we don't know how rough it was, but whatever it was, he's decided he couldn't take it anymore, and he takes off. Well, later on, they start another missionary journey, and Barnabas says to Paul, let's take John Mark with us. No, we're not taking him. Do you not remember what he did last time? Folks, are we people who believe that folks need a second chance? Or if they mess up one time, do we mark them off our calendar? Well, here Barnabas said, no, he fouled up, but he's coming along now. He's going to be useful. Let's take him with us. No, we're not going to take him. Well, the Bible says that the contention became so strong between the two men, between Paul and Barnabas, that Barnabas took John Mark with him, and Paul took, who was it? Titus with him. And they parted company. It didn't mean that they didn't have any more association. They did have more association with him. Okay, let's look at it very closely. So, I believe that there is this possibility that either we are encouragers or we can be discouragers. Now it could be, I don't know, it could be we're neutral, but if we're neutral, aren't we discouraging? Can you imagine being on some type of team? And I noticed this. I went to a volleyball game the other night that my granddaughter was playing in. And she plays for Yaleville, and they were playing Marshall. Now, why didn't everybody sit together? Have you ever noticed that at a ball game? That the opposing team sits on one side, and the home team sits on another. Well, guess where we wanted to sit at? Well, we wanted to sit among the home team, because you get in big bad trouble if you sit in the opposing team and you cheer for the home team. Well, can you imagine being one of those that was doing the sport and everyone in the stands were neutral? They didn't care if you won or lost. Didn't matter. We don't care if you come back. Come church if you want to. The doors are open. I visited a guy. It's been a good while ago now. I could tell right away that he did not want me at his house. And he said, we know where the church is and we can find it. You won't need to tell us again. Well, they never did find it. So I think that perhaps either we're going to be an encourager or we're going to be a discourager. And we can play the part of a discourager, or we can be discouraged ourselves. Have you ever gotten discouraged? I mean, it's easy for me to get discouraged, Gary. It seems like that it doesn't take a whole lot to discourage me. Have you ever baled hay with a squire baler? It don't take much to discourage you. I told Earl Disroon I wasn't sure I could continue to be a pastor and bale with a squire baler. Sometimes we can get discouraged ourselves and need other people to encourage us. Sometimes failure to get enough rest will cause us to be discouraged. I mean, we can just get so tired of doing stuff that that we can get, it is easy for us to get discouraged. Sometimes our health will bring us to a place to be discouraged. Some of you have experienced that. Sometimes a broken leg will discourage you. Sometimes news from the doctor will discourage you. Sometimes failure will discourage you. It can be failure at work, and can be failure in a family, or failure with your marriage. There's a lot of things that can bring people to discouragement, and that's the reason that you and I need to play the part not of a discourager, but we need to play the part of an encourager. I want you to look with me at the book of Proverbs, the 26th chapter. Do you know what the word edify means? When we edify someone, when the words that come out of our mouth are used to edify. Now, the King James uses that word frequently, but it means to build someone up. It means to build them up. And a discourager will not build people up, but he will tear, or she will tear people down. Proverbs 26 and verse 21 puts it like this: as coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. I was going to read a few of these. The words of a talebearer, that's someone who gossips, a word of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost part of the belly. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a post shred covered with silver dross. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips, and layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart, whose hatred is covered by deceit. His wickedness shall be shred before the whole congregation. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. People that discourage. The discourager will try to discredit the work of God that's being done. It's not really the work of God. It's not really the Lord. In the book of Nehemiah, there's a character named Tobiah. He's an Ammonite. And as Nehemiah and the Hebrews were rebuilding the wall, God's people were rebuilding the wall, and this Tobiah comes along, and he says, "You're wasting your time. You're not doing any good." My father-in-law used to tell the story about a boxer's trainer who was an encourager. He was always encouraging the boxer. And they were in a boxing match, and he would come, the bell would ring, and he would come to his corner, and the manager'd wipe all the blood and sweat off of him and everything, and he'd say, "I'm telling you, you've just about got it won. We're just right on the verge of winning this bout." He said, "I'm telling you, that guy hadn't laid a glove on you yet." And he looked at the trainer right before the bell's rung, and he said, "When I get back out there, you watch that referee. Somebody's beating the dog out of me." An encourager. Encourage people to move on. Tobiah said, it won't do you any good. He said, if a fox runs up on that wall, it'll fall down. A real discourager. What you're doing is not going to make any difference. What you're telling those kids, that Sunday school class that you're teaching, you're not doing any good. You're not making any difference. The fact that you've decided to be faithful is not going to matter to anybody. See, a discourager will bring that about in our lives. On the other hand, an encourager seeks to meet the needs of others without regard to what it cost him. I've already read this in Acts 4, 34 through 37, but they gave their own stuff to help others. Can you imagine it? They gave their own stuff to be an encouragement to others. You know, that seems like a small thing for us to do, to be able to encourage someone else. An encourager will use his gift of exhortation to preserve the results of evangelism. Now, this is our text again, but I want us to focus in. I told you what we were going to do. I'm trying to. I want us to focus in on verse 23. Now, who we're talking about? Barnabas, right? So Barnabas had come. What was the city he came to? He came to Antioch. You remember the history of Antioch? Do you remember that was the first place that these followers were called Christians? Little Christ, got these little Christs running around everywhere. And so Barnabas, he comes to Antioch. And in verse 23, when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was excited. He was glad. I said that's an understatement. I think that Barnabas, I'm anxious to meet him. Are you? I got a feeling he'd be great to be around. And then here's our word. And he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. He was an encourager with purpose of heart that they would cleave unto the Lord. In Acts 13, verse 43, Paul and Barnabas persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. In Acts 14 and verse 22, they were confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. When you study this word a little bit of exhortation, of comfort, you get the picture of a cheerleader. You get the picture of someone cheering someone else on. And you know, when it's our kids that are playing in the game, it's pretty easy for us to encourage them. But then as we become Christians and we're doing this for other Christians, it takes practice. It takes us doing it over and over again, and remembering what our job is. Remembering that our job is to be one of encouragement. To encourage people. To say, come on, come on, come on, you can do it. Come on, lay in there, come on. Run, put it out. Come on, I know you can do it, come on. And we come along beside people. And that's what that comfort deal is. We come along beside them, put our arm around them, say, buddy, I know You got it in you. You can do it. Don't let what that guy said discourage you. Don't back up because of what happened here. Don't listen to the devil sitting on your shoulder saying that you're never going to amount to anything. You're not going to do this, and you're not going to do that, and you're not going to be able to make a difference. So we come along beside them, and the Holy Spirit works through us to give us the words, what they need, right at the right time, to encourage them. Here, throw it here. We got this little boy down there on the other end. He just barely can get it to us. Maybe he's throwing it underhand. He just barely can get it to us. Oh, come on, come on, come on. Come on, son. Lay it in there. Come on. Throw the hide off of it. Here, right here. Well, that's what God wants us to do in other people's lives. To encourage them in the things of the Lord. To come along beside them. And you know, and I hate it. I hate it, but this is what we have a tendency to do, and this is what I have a tendency to do. What Barnabas was doing was preserving the results of the evangelism. He was preserving the results of that evangelism. We have a tendency as a church. They come, they get saved, and they come pretty good, and then something happens to them. They fall out. And if we're not careful, we'll have a tendency to not be the encourager. Everything in the world will get in the way. We won't be able to go. This won't happen. That won't happen. We won't be able to encourage them the way that the Lord would have us to. Over in the book of Titus, we see that is what God's men are to be about. They didn't take that out of mind, did they? No, it's still in there. Titus 1, look down at verse 9. Here's where Paul is writing to Titus. And he's exhorting him. He's encouraging him. And he says, hold fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able, he's talking about the pastor here, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the opposition, the gainsayers. An encourager will see the potential in every person. In Acts 9, Barnabas sees potential in Paul. Can you imagine having men like Barnabas around you? He sees potential in Paul and he encourages him. We were ordaining Nathan to the ministry. And Nathan asked that we invite one of his former pastors to come and preach the charge. And so we invited him. And we had all gathered here, and I met him a little bit earlier in the day. And he didn't necessarily impress me. But as we continued through the ordination service, we had the men that were on the council standing here. The ordained men were maybe in these two rows here. The men that were on the council that were, and were going to serve a part in the, y'all remember this? They were going to serve a part in the ordination service. And Lyle was standing here, my father-in-law, and Nathan's former pastor was standing here. And we came to a time in the service for Lyle to pray for Nathan. And I've never had anything to impress me so in my life. But as Lyle began to pray, that man stepped over next to him and he put his arm around him. That's all he did. He just stepped over next to him and put his arm around him. I thought I was going to come unglued. Oh, I said, I want to be like that. I want to be like that. I want to be an encourager like that. And that's what an encourager does. He steps over beside you. He just puts his arm around you. May not say anything. May not be anything that can be said. But he's an encourager. She's an encourager. Just here to be with you. Just want you to know I'm by your side. Just want you to know that I'm with you. No matter what you face, no matter what happens in life, I'm going to be with you. I really want to be an encourager. Do you? I really want to be an encourager. If I'm going to be an encourager, I can't let the circumstances of my own life keep me from encouraging other people. I have to be on top of those situations that are happening in my own life in order to be an encouragement to other people. I can't always, are you listening to me today? I can't focus on myself and focus on other people. It can't be all about me. And I tell you, I have a little problem with that. I want it to be about Lanny. I'll try to change it around. Now, I try not to make it obvious. And it's mostly where me and Gwen are concerned that I try to make it about Lanny. I got a bunch of funny stuff I could tell, but this is too serious time to tell it. Let's stand together. The most important decision that you'll ever make in all of your life is what you do with Jesus. I'm telling you, it's what you do with Him.